Good morning, church. How y'all doing? It is good to be with you. I don't know whose stand this was, but I'm covering your music, so I'm sorry if that's going to mess you up. It is good to be with all of you. It is awesome to see how many are here and online. Thank you. It matters that you're here and that we are together. Yeah? Yes, it's awesome. You should have grabbed two things when you came in, a bookmark and a Lego. Everyone should have a bookmark and a Lego. If you didn't get a bookmark or a Lego, raise your hand right now. We have people coming around. I want to make sure everyone gets a bookmark or a Lego before we begin to get it. If you are at home and you have a bookmark, the Discipleship Pathway, I'd love for you to grab that. If you don't, you can go to discipleshippathway.org and check it out online there. And if you happen to have Legos at home, grab one. One Lego per person, doesn't matter size or color, just one Lego per person. We're going to be touching on these, both of those, in just a little bit. So today is the first of our 4 weeks where we're going to be looking at a living sent together. I cannot encourage you enough to join us weekly for all four parts of this series. Our hope and intent through this series is to build whole church unity around living sent together this year. So join us in person. And if you can't make it in person, then you can join through the live stream. And if you happen to miss a week, you can catch it online. You can go back to the YouTube channel and check it out, or you can go to Apple iTunes. We have a podcast. That's my favorite way. Or you can download our app. So wherever you download apps, just look up New Life Ann Arbor, New Life Church Ann Arbor, and you should find our app. And you can watch if you miss any of them. The reason we want you to stay connected through this series is that it will touch on many of the life and rhythms of our church, and we don't want you to miss any of it as we go forward. We seek to be a vibrant, reproducing church where we live out the greatest commandment and the Great Commission. And when we talk about vibrant, that's Christ alive in us, and reproducing is Christ alive in others. And everything we do as a church is about seeing Christ alive in us and Christ alive in others. And so today we're going to be looking at how we do this as a church and how we need each other's help in doing this. And the Lego and the bookmark that you're holding are going to show us the way. So before we go any further, let me pray for our time. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everyone that's here in person and joining through the stream or who's going to listen to this. Lord, I pray that in this time today, as we look at your church in Scripture, Lord, that you would renew our heart and our mind around what it means to connect with you, with each other, and how you build your church. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged, inspired. We would see the beauty of your genius in all of this, and we would want to be a part of it. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So to let me speak to the child in all of you that's probably curious, what is this Lego all about? Ole Kirk Christensen of Denmark was a master carpenter making wooden toys in the 1930s, and in 1946, against everyone's advice, Christensen ordered his first plastic injection molding machine from England, and by 1953 had perfected his design and was selling Lego bricks all over the world. Today, there are more Legos on Earth than people. Actually, about 80 bricks per person. You do the math. For every person on Earth. How many of you have ever, raise your hand if you've ever played with a Lego? Oh, like the whole room, yes, we're in good company. Legos are one of the best-selling toys of all time, voted toy of the century twice, last century and this century. Might be a little early for the whole century, but they've captured the hearts and imagination of generation after generation and expanded their impact and influence to vast numbers of other industries, entertainment, business, science, technology, mathematics, all impacted by Lego. And so in honor of this history, I just want us to take a few minutes and go ahead and play with your Lego. Yeah, I can see it on some of your faces. You're like, this is not fun. This is not fun. This toy would never have sold if you got one Lego in a box. Right? Because Lego bricks were not made to be on their own. Some of you are like, oh, we knew. You're already building things together. Lego bricks were created for connection. What makes Lego bricks great is that they connect and disconnect over and over again in countless possibilities. In fact, a mathematician wondered, how many ways could you do with just this one, a four by two, if you had six, how many combinations could you make? So he made a computer program, ran it straight for a week, and found out over 900 million combinations with just six Legos. It's crazy. From the very beginning, Legos were created to connect with each other, and the same is true for you and me. We were created to connect with others. It was never meant to be a solo game. We were created for relationship with others, and this reflects the relationship within the Creator. God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, where relationship and connection are inherent within himself. And as he created humans in his own image, male and female, he made us for relationship and connection. And so, church, as we start this year together, I want the Lego that you now hold, and Lego bricks in general, to be a reminder of these two things, that you were created to connect with others, and it's time to build again. It's time to build again. Over the course of the summer, our elder and ministry team began discerning a simple but clear message that we believe is from the Lord for our church. It's time to build again. And we don't even fully know what that means. We feel like it is very clear from the Lord. And one thing is clear as tied to this, is that we're to build together. All of us connected together as we move forward, because we are stronger together. And so let this Lego be a reminder to you that you were created to connect with others and be a part of what God is building this year and every year of your life. And this is what Jesus intended for his church since the very beginning. The church is not a building or a place. You are the church. We are the church, men and women of all ages who have trusted their life to Jesus and are following Jesus. Just like the slice you heard. Isn't that awesome? Following every single day. And to be clear, the church was not just something that developed on its own after Jesus rose from the dead and went to heaven. No, the church was the dream of Jesus. He's the one that said, I will build my church. That's why he came. He came to build his church. People that are following him. And this morning, we're going to look at the start of his church. And when you want to go build something out of Legos, you go get your building instructions. And if you want to talk about building in God's kingdom, you get his instructions. So if you have a Bible with you, you can grab it, open it up. We are going to have the scriptures on the screen. If you don't own a Bible, we have free ones at a table right out by the stairs. When you leave here today, we'd love for you to take a free one as a gift. You can turn to the book of Acts, which is in the second half of the Bible, the New Testament. So you have Old, New Testament. And at the beginning of the New Testament, you have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Luke was a physician who basically was recording everything that happened. He's like, I want to document how God is building his kingdom in my time. And so he wrote Luke, which was all about Jesus. And then when Jesus ascended to heaven, he wrote a sequel to it called the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, what happened in the early church. And so Luke and Acts are actually connected, and we're going to be starting in the book of Acts. And what happens in the book of Acts is after Jesus died, rose from the dead, he walked with the disciples for 40 days after his death, proving that he had risen from the dead. And then he ascended in front of them to heaven. Like, that's it. Seriously, he just flew up. And yes, they were in awe, and an angel showed them, like, why are you still staring? I'm like, obvious question. Jesus just flew. And then they go back, and he told them to hang out and stay together until power comes on you from high, which was a promise of the Holy Spirit, that God was going to not just be with them like Jesus walking together, but he's going to pour his Spirit into the hearts and the lives of all of his disciples. And this came on the day of Pentecost. It says 120 of the disciples, all the followers were together in one place. And it says on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and they saw it as tongues of fire above everyone's heads. And as they were filled with the Spirit, it says they began praising God in different languages. God gave them ability to speak in different languages, and they went out into the streets, and it created quite a spectacle. It drew a huge crowd from those in the town, from all over the broader region and nations, people hearing praises of God in their own native tongue, something that they were not used to in Jerusalem. And when the question arose to what's going on, Peter, one of the disciples, stands up in their midst and he tells the story of Jesus, how he lived, how he died for them, and how he rose from the dead to bring hope to all who put their faith in him. And the crowd said, well, what are we to do? And he said that you repent of your sins, you turn to God, and you get baptized. And it says, on that day, 3,000 were added to their numbers. Upon hearing this message and hearing praises in their own tongue and hearing the good news for the first time, the gospel of what Jesus did, 3,000 were connected in to God's church. God was building his church, people. And he didn't just want a few bricks, he wanted thousands. And not just bricks of one shape and size or color, but he got a great variety of different regions, nations, cultures, ethnicities with Jesus as the cornerstone. All your Legos that you have today, they're all different. Some of you have a tire, a wheel. Some of you have maybe just the eyeball, a little single piece. Some of you have big pieces. Some of you got the grass, the big one. I don't know where they are. We're all different. But Jesus is the cornerstone that everything builds on. He is central to what we're doing. He's brick number one in building instructions. And every disciple of Jesus is another brick added to his kingdom and his church that he is building. And a disciple, everyone that connects in, is a learner, someone who's choosing to follow Jesus and to learn to live like Jesus. They've repented, they've turned to God, been baptized, and they want to learn to live like Jesus, and he added over 3,000 in one day. And if that was just the first couple pages of his building's instruction, I want us to go right there and to see what happens after that, because the believers continue to connect. And this is what it says, starting in verse 42. All the believers. And I love that when it says all the believers, because that is a multi-generational church. It's all generations. And we are a multi-generational church here at New Life with a heart for the next generation, which means we're stronger together. We're going to help those who come behind us, from men and women of all ages, even to the littlest kids in our midst. And we're particularly passionate about reaching the next generation of college students. And so all the believers together, and what's awesome about that is that's just like Lego bricks. Do you know Legos from the very start were always designed that a Lego today can connect with a Lego made 50 years ago? All generations work together. That's God's church. It's his brilliance in his design. And it says they were devoted. Devotion is to give a large part of one's time or resources to a person, activity, or a cause. And these disciples were giving a large part of their time and resources to Jesus, his church, and his mission. Why? Why would they do this? Pull out that bookmark. Look at the verse. On the one side, 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. It's because people realize that, hey, on my own, I don't accomplish much. And it's kind of lonely. But if I can connect to the Creator and his kingdom, I can be building in a way that will outlast my life and have significance for eternity. They no longer live for themselves. They're living for Jesus and his church and his mission. And it goes on, it says, they were committed to the apostles' teaching. This is the scriptures, the building instructions. They want to know who Jesus, how Jesus lived and what he's like, and they want to follow him and his ways in the world. And it says, and to fellowship. They were devoted to fellowship. Fellowship is a Greek, koinonia is the word. It's about partnership and contribution. And catch this, the church is not a place of consumerism. It's a place of contribution. This Lego doesn't just show up by the building and look at it. It joins it. It plays a purpose. It serves a part of the whole. That's what we are as a church. It's a place of building one another up. And it says to sharing in meals. And I love this because Jesus puts food at the center of his church. He has us gather around some of the basic essentials of life. A meal shared together was both a symbol and a seal of friendship. And it says it includes the Lord's Supper, what we call communion. It's the taking of bread in remembrance of how Jesus' body was broken for us on the cross to make us whole. And it's taking the cup of wine that is symbolic of his blood that was poured out for us, his death to make us whole. We remember that as we're together. It's a time of connecting with Jesus while we're connecting together. We have communion, common union with each other and with God. It's so beautiful. And then it says to prayer, talking to God. We connect with each other and we talk and listen to God together. We pray about anything and everything. We pray as the Holy Spirit guides us. And honestly, the scriptures say that our prayers are powerful and effective. sweet-smelling incense rising to Jesus. He loves to hear us pray together to him. He delights in our prayers and seeing us pray together. And prayer strengthens us. And all of these rhythms help us stay connected. They each in their own way apply force upon the church, very much the way if you're building and you put a brick in, what is the first thing you do? You press it. You make sure it's going to stay. You want the whole thing to be tight because the last thing you want is to build some big thing and it was just all loose and falls over, right? The church, when we gather together and we practice these life and rhythms of being devoted to each other and the apostles' teaching, scripture, fellowship, sharing a meal, including the Lord's Supper, communion, and to prayer, it's helping strengthen us and push us together as one. We are stronger together. And then I want you to see this, the next verse, where it says, a deep sense of awe came over them, and all the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And I often read that they were in awe of the signs and the wonders, but that's not how it's written. And I was like, is that really it? So I went back, looked at some other translations. No, it's they were in awe, and those other things happened. We have had signs and miracles in this church. I believe we will have more, and that's awesome. But people were in awe at the way they were living, committed and devoted to one another, and the way that God was strengthening them in the midst of that. It's powerful. And whenever we get a glimpse of that and we see people live that way, it's inspiring. It brings joy. It fires you up as a believer, even if you don't know the other believers. Recently, three of us pastors, myself, Kyle, and Nick, we were at a coffee shop in the morning. And we were praying together and we were reading some scripture. One of them, Nick, has a very strong, bold voice. And he read scripture as if he was on this stage proclaiming to 5,000. That's what it felt like to me. I'm a pastor. I was aware that scripture was being read loud in this Sweetwater's Cafe, knowing that everyone knows scripture is being read loud right now. But he did that, and it was powerful, and it was great. And towards the end of our time, about a half hour later, an older gentleman comes over to us, and he just shares with us. He says, I'm a follower of Jesus, and have been following Jesus for 50 years since I was a freshman in college. Keep it up. That was so encouraging, especially when it's three pastors who are focused on a church that loves college students and have freshmen coming, to be reminded that what we do matters. That here's a guy 50 years down the road who's still built in, connected to the church, sees us and is like, keep it going. It's awesome. And I'll tell you, if you are sitting here today, and as you've worshiped and you've gathered and you've wrestled and you're not connected to your Creator, if this link hasn't been made, where Christ who came for you so that you could connect with God, if you haven't done that, would you do it today? Have you connected to God yourself? Or maybe you feel like I was connected and I've been separated. And if I'm truthfully honest, I need to come back. I'm tired of being on my own. I want to be connected to Christ. I want to accept what he did for me. I want to be a part of his mission, his kingdom, his church. And I don't normally do this, but I'm just going to have you actually bow your head right now. We're not going to raise any hands or do anything like that, but I just want to give you a moment. If you are in this space right now, in person or at home, and what you're hearing is something that you feel a stirring in you to say, God, I want you. Just do that on your own. Just reach out and say, God, I want to connect to you. I don't even know what that means right now, but I trust you. I want to live and be like you. Teach me to follow you. In your name, Jesus. It's as simple as that. You can open your eyes. If you did that this morning, Christ said, the scriptures say that everyone who connects, one person who repents and connects into God, the whole heavens go crazy in praise. Yeah, go ahead, cheer. I don't know if anyone did that right now, in person or at home, but these cheers are for you. And if you did that, tell someone. You can come tell me afterwards. You can talk to a neighbor. If you're like, I did that, but I don't even know what that means, but it sounds awesome, then talk. We can answer questions, but it's that simple. God is always turning and longing for you to connect with him. You just have to receive it and say, I want to connect with you. And so as we gather, This is where it continues. They were in awe. And then the scriptures say, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. And church, we gather together on Sundays as a whole because it's beautiful and God does just something unique and powerful. It's awesome to be a part of what he's doing on Sunday mornings. And what we see here at the core of the church, though, is just sacrifice. I mean, look at this. It says they even, when they met together, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. It's a sacrificial love that happens as we follow Christ. And honestly, it's like a finished Lego build is what happens. Check this out. This is just a one I came across. It's Wally. Simple build. You don't see the individual parts first because you catch the whole. That's the point of the church, is people see God in our midst. They would catch the whole. And then you zoom in, you're like, oh, look at that. There's that little piece. I have that piece. Right? You can see all those little things. You don't notice when all of the pieces at first, but you'll notice if one is missing. Like if Wally was missing an eye or a thumb or a big hole in his abdomen, you'd be like, oh, that's a problem. Yeah, it matters that you're here. And it matters that we are together. You have a part to play. You have a part. Because those who receive his new life, we no longer live for us. We're living for Christ and his church and his mission. Jesus said we would be known by the love we have for one another. And it takes us beyond being individual Lego bricks and allows us, the watching world, to see both Jesus and his kingdom in their midst. Whole creations of what God's beauty is. And this happened in the early church. And then it says in the end of this passage, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You see, we do meet on Sundays. We also meet in what we call home groups. We meet in homes to practice rather regular rhythms and habits as a church. We have home groups all over the campus and all over the city, and we'd love for each and every one of you to be plugged into a home group, to continue in the life and rhythms as a church together. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship. New Lego bricks were being added every single day, and I don't want you to miss this, that by connecting together into the life and rhythms of the church, they were living sent together. Because living sent is about connecting with others and watching God build his church. We connect and God builds. He added to their numbers daily. And the early church was so beautiful because they lived like this, and we long to live like this here. So how do we do it? Well, first off, Jesus is the cornerstone. Everything is built on him. And we want all of you to know and trust Jesus for your whole life. Here at New Life, the discipleship pathway is a framework for our life of learning from Jesus. A disciple is a learner, we already said that, and a discipleship pathway is a simple tool designed to help us learn and follow Jesus with each other. So go ahead and grab your bookmark, and on the other side of the verse, if you turn it over, you're going to see, and you can see this online too, discipleshippathway.org, learning and living the discipleship pathway is about deepening our relationship with Jesus together through building lifelong habits of worship, community, and mission. Everything we see in the early church. It's about growing in and having a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of community, and a lifestyle of mission, where we live devoted to Jesus, committed to his church, and sent for his mission every day we have. And if you look at this, it's broken down to worship, community, mission. In each one, there's two habits. So two habits under each one, and then there's two actions under each habit. It makes 12 actions that we can live, and they're just examples. And then the 6 habits. But if we build those habits into our life, we will have these lifestyles. Lifestyles of worship, community, and mission. And we want all of you to learn and live the discipleship pathway together. And to do that, we're actually kicking off something new this year. It's called the 90-Day Challenge. You can go to newlifea2.org/90-day-challenge. You can go there now. That's great. Read on your phone. Check this out. You can learn, you can form a habit in 90 days. It can happen. And this is a challenge that at some point over the course of this year, we invite each and every one of you at this church to take the 90-day challenge, which is going to be 90 days or 12 weeks to daily pursue learning and living the discipleship pathway with others. And central to learning and living the discipleship pathway is the practice of connecting with God and with others. We refer to it as HOW. Hear, obey, with others, H-O-W. It's an acronym. We hear from God, we obey what he's telling us, and we do it with others. And so a simple way of doing this each day is I wake up and I go, Lord, what are you inviting me to? What do I need today? And I just feel like worship is laid on my heart. So I look at it and I'm like, okay, there's two habits. We remain in the gospel or we're renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer. And I'm like, I need the gospel today. I need to be reminded of that. Ask someone to share the truth of the gospel with you. Awesome. Easy enough. I think that's it. I feel like the Lord is in that. So I'm going to ask someone else. I'm going to obey. I'm just going to ask someone, hey, can you just remind me of the gospel today? I'm having a hard time with this. Or another time, it may be like, I need to worship. He wants me to be reminded of scripture and prayer. And so I click on some worship music. It could be that he's asking me to love my neighbor. We love our neighbors. So to actually get to know someone outside the church, a neighbor that I've been reaching out to, and I feel led to do that. The beauty is if God is leading us and he's at the center and we're listening and obeying, do you think his timing will be off for your life? No, his timing is perfect. And that's what's beautiful about this, is about all of us individually trying to link up and connect with God and his timing and his ways and his mission, and collectively us doing this together, and it is powerful. So you can go to the 90-day challenge website, newlifeatu.org/90-day-challenge, read all about it, pray at some time this year. We invite you to take a 90-day challenge with a small group of people in this church. And I'm going to go back to the scriptures one last time to wrap this up, where it says, as they worshiped together at the temple each day, they met in their homes the Lord's Supper, and they shared with their meals with great joy and generosity, and while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And as followers of Jesus, it is a gift and a joy to play a part in God's story, to be a brick that's linked up in his kingdom, to play a part in making disciples and seeing Christ alive in us and Christ alive in others. And church, I want you all to play your part well. You have a part to play in God's kingdom each and every day, so play well. And this brings me to my last reminder. Take your Lego. Somewhere on your Lego is the word Lego. You might need a magnifying glass. It's a little dark in here. Look close, you can find it. Which brings us to the point that Lego is stamped on each and every single one. And it's a combination from two Danish words that means play well. And so let it be a reminder to play well, brothers and sisters, for the kingdom of God needs you. We are stronger together, and the Lord is building his church. Let us live sent together. I'm going to pray. Jesus, I thank you for the beauty of your church, for the fact that you came for us, that you died for us, that you were wanting us to reconnect to you, Lord, but through it all, you also wanted to build your church. A community of people that individually we can reflect you, but together we can reflect you and your kingdom and what you want in this world, and it is beautiful. Lord, I pray that as we go forward in this time this morning, that you would show us next step in our own life that we could take to follow and connect further with you this morning. Pray that this time of communion and worship would be celebratory, Lord, that we would experience your encouragement in building one another up in this space. And Lord, would you use us today to live sent in your world? Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I actually don't have a communion cup. Can someone hook me up? Thank you. I'm supposed to lead communion. Might need that. So Jesus, the night before he was handed over and crucified, he had one last meal. And at that meal, he took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you." Remember, this is communion. It's our common union. We're here together. Why? Because of Christ, the cornerstone. He is the first one, and he was broken so that we even could be built into his kingdom. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup of wine, and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." His body broken for you, his blood poured out for you. And as we move into this time of worship, we are going to have prayer ministers at the front and in the back and in the balcony. If there's anything you want to talk to God about with someone else, we'd love to be able to pray with you in that time. And so I invite you all to stand. We're going to connect with Jesus in this moment.